You ready? Good morning, everyone. Call this Board of Supervisor meeting to order. The date is March 7th. The time is 9:02 a.m. I'm going to start out the meeting by asking everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to ask Cameron Bazaar, son of Tim, who's retiring, to lead us in the pledge, and then we'll be followed by the invocation by Reverend Michael Douglas, who's the present CEO of Advancing Vibrant Communities. Okay.
Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the men and women before us today, the sacrifices that they make to serve us, the sacrifices that their families make as well. We pray that you would bless them with great wisdom in their deliberations this morning. And Lord, for our community, we pray for peace and safety in our neighborhoods and for a vibrant and prosperous business community. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Douglas. Cameron, thank you very much for helping me out. Next, we're going to move on to presentation. It's the accommodation for public defender Tim Bazaar upon his retirement from Stanislaus County. I'm going to pass it to CEO Risen.
All right. Well, good morning. Thank you, Chair. It's with great pleasure that we acknowledge and recognize Mr. Tim Bazaar for over 21 years of dedicated public service to the citizens here in Stanislaus County. Mr. Bazaar completed his undergraduate studies at the University of California, Berkeley, with a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology, and then he obtained his law degree at the McGovern School of Law. He began his career as a deputy public defender in Tulare County in 1984 and became a supervising attorney in 1987, continuing on to become Tulare's assistant public defender in 1996. During his tenure in Tulare County, he was awarded the Trial Lawyer of the Year in 1990 by Tulare County Trial Lawyers Association. And on two occasions, he appeared before the Supreme Court of the state of California to argue over the implementation of Proposition 115, which is known as the Crime Victims Justice Reform Act. Mr. Bazaar began his career with Stanislaus County as a public defender in 1996, and has successfully served as a public defender under four county chief executive officers, three different district attorneys, four different chief probation officers, and two sheriffs. Mr. Bazaar has done a great job as our public defender and has demonstrated his commitment to protecting the constitutional rights and civil liberties of all citizens of Stanislaus County. Mr. Bazaar is engaged in partnerships and collaborative relationships with all the criminal justice partner agencies as they implemented an integrated criminal justice system called ICGIS, and have worked to address changes created by criminal justice realignment, the passage of Prop 47, which reduced certain drug possession felonies to misdemeanors, and numerous other changes to the criminal law. Public service is very important to Mr. Bazaar, as exhibited by his active involvement in his home community as a board member in the Newman Crows Landing Unified School District, where he served since 2011. Giving back to make a difference in his hometown and in Stanislaus County is a significant component to the footprint and legacy as imprinted in this community. I just want to say on a personal note, I've really enjoyed working with Tim over the years. I found him very reasonable, very professional, has a good sense of humor, and I just thank him for all the significant contributions you've made to Stanislaus County. And so would you please join me in congratulating Tim Bazaar as he retires, and for his years of service, wishing him well in this next chapter of life.
Welcome, Tim. Thank you.
We turn this up just a little bit. Okay, a true story. Every single closed session is started with a lawyer joke. And Supervisor DeMartini, lift up your book. And it always puts us in a good mood. And I will tell you, truthfully, we don't always pick on trial or defense attorneys, although I can never recall picking on anyone else. But so I'm going to tell a joke really quick to start out with. And it's the attorney tells the accused, I have some good news and some bad news. What's the bad news, asks the accused. The bad news is that your blood is all over the crime scene and the DNA test proves you did it. What's the good news? Your cholesterol is 130. See? So I am listening to CEO Risen talk about your long and distinguished career, 21 years here, trial lawyer of the year in 1990 in Tulare, which is truly, well, I know maybe you shouldn't be that proud of it, huh? But it truly speaks to what people think about you. You've been easy to work with. I know you're well loved by the Board of Supervisors. You've always stayed within your budget. I do know that a job.
Your nose is drawn.
He has a couple times. We have a legal mandate. This is going to be fun today, right? So the job of a defense attorney is to outlast everyone, and he outlasted 4 chief executive officers, 3 district attorneys, 4 different probation officers, and 2 sheriffs. Again, that speaks to your ability to get along with people and do your job correctly. And I say this from the board very sincerely. CEO Risen summed it up. You have great integrity on your job, and it's been wonderful to work with you. It really has over my 8 years. Sorry to see you go. I see you have a boat named Odyssey that you like to take out into the bay, which is great. You have a lovely wife that works for the county. Hopefully she's going to stick around for a little bit longer. She doesn't. And anyway, so I'm going to turn the mic over to you, but thank you on behalf of Stanislaus County for all you've done.
Appreciate it. Well, thank you very much. Okay. Well, thank you very much for those kind words and this pretty document. Let me just say that there's only really 2 things you need to do to be a successful, or at least a 21-year public defender. And the first is surround yourself with talented people. And I've been very fortunate. We have a very talented staff. I think I've worked with more than 60 attorneys in our public defender's office over the 21 years. They do the actual work. The second thing you need to do to be a successful public defender is just come over and fight for the resources so that they have the stuff they need to do their job. I've been blessed to work with very wise and cooperative board members, CEOs over the years, all who've understood that really there isn't any justice unless we have both sides prepared so that in court both sides have an opportunity to honestly present their case and then let the judge or the jury decide what happened. So it hasn't been much as far as what I do, but I have enjoyed this job. I think it's a perfect job for me. I'm kind of a lazy guy, but I do like criminal law. And honestly, for anybody who's out there thinking about a career, criminal law is a wonderful career. Defense work is a wonderfully entertaining, exciting line of work to be in. So thank you very much. Let me acknowledge the people who got me here. My wife is here. I'd like her to stand, Carrie Stevens. Yeah. I have 2 of my children. I'll start with Sydney, who's a freshman at Orestimba High School. Sid, stand up. She's wearing her finest. Cameron Bazaar, who's in 7th grade, is my youngest. And he's now he's an uncle of, he has 4 nephews and 1 niece. Because we just had another baby in our family born this week. Anyway, I'd like to acknowledge also Sonny Sandu, who's going to be your next public defender. Sonny, could you stand up? Thank you. Maureen Keller, our chief deputy. Jennifer Jennison, one of the attorneys from the office. We have a lot of staff people who I think would have been here, but unfortunately they have to be in court. We still have court to do every day and a lot of justice to deliver. At least we like to think we're delivering it. So. Again, let me just thank you very much. Over the years, it's been a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to retirement. I think it was 37 years ago, I started work in Tulare County. And at that time, my father thought that it would be sort of a temporary assignment. He didn't think of it as real work, as government employment. But after 37 years, I'm ready to get out there and look for a real job.
So on behalf... On behalf of the Board of Supervisors, all of the retirees get a clock, and we're still trying to figure out why we do that. And then we have a proclamation on behalf of the board. Again, the county, when we talk about how successful we are, it's because of all the folks out there. I say this all the time, we're only as good as the employees are representing us and doing justice in your case. So again, thank you. I saw that you like to garden. So I would imagine you're going to be a master gardener going forward and spend some time on your boat. And don't be a stranger to us, for sure, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, Tim.
Thank you.
I know that we always talk about succession planning, and I forgot to mention that Mr. Bizarre had done a good job of succession planning, too, within his department, so I thank you for that. Okay, now we'll move on to the consent calendar. It's an opportunity to speak on anything that is not on today's posted agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I have two items that I, out of the abundance and caution, I'm going to recuse myself from.
We're on public comment.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Okay, so again, an opportunity to speak on anything that is not on today's posted agenda. Please limit your comments to 5 minutes, and the floor is yours. Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar.
Now.
Okay, so I have two items, items D1 and D2. D1. Just again, out of the abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse myself. Timothy Bird, one of my best friends since first grade. I probably should not be on that one. And then the next one, D2, is my father-in-law. So I will leave the dais for those two.
Perfect. Okay, stay here for the. Okay, would any member like to pull any other items? Would anyone like to comment from the public on any of the items on the consent calendar? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion minus D1 and D2.
So moved.
Have a motion?
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very nice. 5-0. Okay.
Here I go.
Please let the record show that Supervisor Withrow has left the dais. Any comments from any board members? Any comments from the public? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move items D1 and 2.
We have a motion.
Second.
And we have a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, 4-0. Thank you very much. There we go, get Terry. Okay, we'll be moving on to item B6, consideration and approval of the mid-year financial report for the fiscal year 2016-17 and related actions. Assistant CEO Hayes and his team.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Chairman Chiesa, CEO Risen, Council Doring, and board members. Jody Hayes from the Chief Executive Office. I'm thrilled to have with me two key members of our budget team, Senior Management Consultants Brenda Kiley and Tara Chumley, joining with me today to present our 16-17 mid-year financial report. Actually, just taking the lead from the chair, I was going to pitch this over to that Cameron Bizarre kid to do this presentation, but that kid bolted out of here, I noticed, pretty quick. So we'll go ahead and stick with what we were going to do. This is the time of the year that we take a close look at our performance during the first half of the fiscal year, while we're also forming our initial projections for how we're going to end this fiscal year. And we're also heavily engaged in preparations for next year's spending plan. During this three-month window each year, we are truly focused on the past, present, and future all at the same time. This is budget season for the county, and we want to thank all of our partners throughout the organization who contribute to this process. Our county departments are really busy supporting us right now, and we want to thank them. We'll do our best in today's presentation to focus on those key issues facing the organization at this juncture of the budget cycle, while also highlighting many of the recommended budget adjustments that are necessary to ensure department budgets remain on track to end the year in a positive financial position. In summary, the financial health of the county remains strong, and the current year spending plan remains a good balance of planned expenditures and available resources. County departments are on track to spend within existing appropriations authority, while also moving forward with a variety of budget adjustments intended to improve or strengthen our county services in each of the priority areas. Significant focus remains on implementing the board's public safety restoration program that we're going to talk about today, as well as the phased implementation of expanded facilities and adult detention. Outside of public safety, we recognize the evolving needs of our social service programs and what steps the county must take to support the baseline performance of these state and federally funded programs. One item that we really want to dive in deep today is the governor's proposed budget for this upcoming budget year 17-18. We're going to need to take some time to describe some potential significant cost shift that will definitely have an impact on our recommendations going forward as we prepare next year's budget. Consistent with past practice, the 2016-17 mid-year financial report is presented to you today by Board of Supervisors priority. There are seven priorities that guide our county operations and provide the organizational structure for our budget documents. I'm going to go ahead and turn over the presentation to Brenda Kiley to summarize some of those key financial outcomes that are included in our report.
Good morning. The 2016-2017 final budget was approved on August 30th. The adopted final budget has since been adjusted to include carryover appropriations for obligations from the previous year, along with adjustments approved as part of separate Board of Supervisors agenda items. Combined, the adopted final budget and these adjustments represent the county's operating budget, which totals approximately $1.182 billion as of December 31st, 2016. The table before you summarizes appropriations organized by fund type and provides an overview of the county budget from adopted final budget through the recommendations contained in this mid-year financial report. Upon approval in August, the adopted final budget totaled $1.133 billion. The operating budget as of December 31st, 2016 increased to $1.182 billion. The recommended mid-year adjustments before you today are depicted in the column outlined in red. The total recommended increase in appropriations of $11,941,101 is offset by $93,465 in transfers from appropriations for contingencies, for a net appropriations increase of $11,847,636. This adjustment will increase total budget appropriations at mid-year to $1.194 billion. At a high level, the recommendations included in this mid-year financial report largely reflect increased utilization and need in healthy community mandate programs, increased vehicle license fee revenue pass-through from the state of California to benefit 1991 health realignment programs, and a reallocated grant funding strategy that will support a system-wide upgrade of the current VHF radio system used by the probation and sheriff departments. The general fund is balanced at mid-year as displayed on the slide before you. Department appropriations are recommended to increase by $4,054,919, which is offset by a transfer from appropriations for contingencies of $93,465, resulting in the net total appropriations increase of $3,961,454 in the general fund. Departmental revenue is recommended to increase by the same amount, resulting in no increased net county cost in the general fund. Discretionary revenue is recommended to increase by $3.8 million at mid-year, which will be added to unassigned fund balance at year-end. Inclusive of the mid-year recommended adjustments, Unassigned fund balance is projected at approximately $10.1 million by fiscal year end. This chart shows the prior four-year comparison of general fund discretionary revenue since fiscal year 2012-2013, along with the projected discretionary revenue recommended for 2016-2017 in green. The annual budgets for each of these years are reflected in red, while actual revenue posted at mid-year of each year is in blue. Actual revenues for the first 6 months of fiscal year 2016-2017 total to $66.1 million, which represents 34.1% of the 2016-2017 adopted final budget. Discretionary revenue at mid-year is in line with the adopted final budget estimates, but projected above the actual range for the last 5 years. At mid-year, we are recommending an increase of $3.8 million, which will adjust the discretionary revenue budget from $193.9 million to $197.7 million. This is largely due to a $3 million increase in property-related taxes as a result of the increase in the assessed property tax roll for 2016-2017. Jody will now introduce the mid-year recommendations by Board of Supervisors priority areas.
Thank you, Brenda. I'm going to go ahead and cover the first couple of priority areas, and we're going to start with those departments that are in the board's priority of a safe community. Adjustments in this area total about $1.8 million. About $1.1 of that is funded through departmental revenue, as well as $600,000 funded through fund balance, and we have a small additional net county cost contribution here of about $35,000. First thing we wanted to do was to review our up-to-date numbers from public safety restoration. You'll recall that the board started this program in 2014-15 with a $2 million commitment to our public safety departments, district attorney, probation, public defender, and sheriff. That commitment was increased to $4 million in 15-16. And our original plan was to increase the commitment to $6 million this fiscal year and then consider an $8 million commitment in fiscal year 17-18. The board took action with the adopted final budget to leverage the elimination of negative bailout and one-time savings that we had available from that in the prior fiscal year to accelerate the phase three implementation of public safety restoration. At first quarter, we came before you to add additional positions as a part of phase three, and those positions are effective as of, or were effective as of January 1st of this year. You can see the number of positions that have been filled. Our public safety departments have been actively working to fill the vacancies that they have available. Our numbers are as of January 1st, so prior to us adding those additional positions, but you'll see that as of January, which is the time that the mid-year report is conducted, we had filled 47 of our 63 positions. We had, at first quarter, gone up to 83 positions. We have one change in the position allocation for public safety restoration recommended to you in the mid-year budget, and that change is to trade one vacant deputy sheriff position that was added at first quarter for two support staff positions, and that will allow the department to alleviate scheduling duties from one of the sheriff's sergeants and put a sergeant back into patrol operations while also adding an accountant technician position to support their fiscal operations. So it's a much better value proposition for the department. We are suggesting that or approving that recommendation in mid-year. So you'll see that as of today, public safety restoration has funded 84 positions if these recommendations are approved by the board, and those will all be included in next fiscal year's budget with a total value of $8 million. The next project that we wanted to discuss with you is a public safety radio infrastructure project that is a major component of the mid-year recommendations for our public safety departments. Our office has worked closely with the sheriff and probation departments to review current issues with their existing VHF radio communications throughout the county. The county had supported a regional approach to upgrading core communications infrastructure along the Highway 99 corridor over the last 10 years, mostly through the use of federal funding that has benefited a new 800 megahertz digital radio technology system that is now in use in our major cities such as Modesto, Ceres, and Turlock. Now that that work's complete, our public safety departments that I've identified the need to focus on upgrading our own county VHF radio system to ensure that the public safety officers out in the community have clear communications throughout our core service areas, as well as the ability to maintain operational communications with those police agencies that are now using the 800 megahertz digital platform. Recognizing the total cost of this project may approach $3.5 to $4 million in total funding, we've worked with our key public safety departments to develop a phased approach to this project to ensure that immediate needs are addressed right away, while starting this year and next. Budget adjustments at mid-year include $920,000 in total support for phase one of this project, with another $915,000 planned for phase two next fiscal year. Departments have identified existing budget resources to support the entire cost of phase one of this project in the mid-year budget, and those recommendations are built into each department's budget request. I would like to note that about 78% of the project will be funded with non-general fund resources, which was a good outcome for those departments. The majority of these costs in the budget will be used to fund and purchase new mobile radio equipment for vehicles that are out in the field, as well as improvements to the core infrastructure that is necessary to expand and convert the VHF system to a digital platform. We're very pleased to see this project move forward, and we want to thank all of the team that worked on this with the sheriff and the probation departments. They did an excellent job developing and preparing this phased approach. We're also very pleased to remind everyone that today marks a very special event with the planned dedication of our expanded sheriff's detention facility, 2 p.m. this afternoon, East Hackett Road, if you can join us. This project is the culmination of years of planning and countless effort on behalf of county leadership to forge a path forward and developing modern detention facilities to support a rapidly changing mission for local corrections. This effort has been carefully planned with integrated strategies for both operations and funding to ensure a balanced and phased approach to staffing these new facilities. The mid-year report includes recommendations to add an additional 25 positions that were identified in the budget and staffing plan as the next phase to move this project forward. The funding and staffing plan for this project were previously approved by your board, with planned staffing increases aligned with future budgets to ensure that operations and funding strategies remain closely connected as we go forward. We look forward to celebrating this major milestone in our public safety program with everyone this afternoon. We'll now get into some of our specific department requests. There are a number of technical adjustments included in our recommendations for the Sheriff's Department that will transfer funds to the appropriate budget units to ensure Department Budget Authority supports the alignment of department operations. There are two notable issues at mid-year that we'd like to include on court security and vehicle theft. Court security is a special revenue fund established through 2011 State Public Safety Realignment and intended to serve as a dedicated funding source used exclusively for court security activities. Costs in this program have steadily outpaced available resources over the last several years, and we project that fund balance will be close to exhausted by the end of this current fiscal year. The Sheriff's Department has worked closely with leadership of the county and the courts to ensure all partners are aware of this ongoing issue and that the courts are included in the process for developing alternative budget solutions that will ensure a balanced budget going forward. We've also included recommendations to support the requested use of $375,000 in available fund balance to support specialized equipment in the area of auto theft enforcement. The department will deploy additional cameras and mobile license plate readers to leverage technological solutions and improve our vehicle theft enforcement strategies throughout the county. The remainder of our public safety departments are experiencing either no changes or mostly technical adjustments related to the current year's budget. The district attorney has identified the need to evaluate staffing resources in response to increasing demands on the department, including operational changes in courtroom assignments and the volume and complexity of cases pending before the department. CO staff will partner with the district attorney in conducting a staffing study to evaluate staffing levels and caseload demands in survey counties, with results considered in future budget cycles as necessary. The public defender has no mid-year budget requests. However, we will continue monitoring the indigent defense costs to ensure no adjustments are necessary prior to year end. This is always a budget we watch closely towards the end of the year. Probation continues to do very well with leveraging grant and contract opportunities to enhance core programs and services, in addition to the several recommendations that are included in the budget to support the radio project that we mentioned. The Office of Emergency Services has only noted a small technical adjustment necessary at the time of mid-year. However, this report was prepared in advance of the February flood events, which we will note later in today's presentation. We're going to go ahead and shift our focus to those departments that are within a healthy community, each of those departments on the screen before you. We have a total increase of $3.6 million in the area of healthy community. $3.5 million of that is funded through increases in revenues, a small transfer from appropriations and contingencies of less than $1,000, and about $85,000 in the use of available fund balance. We'll start with the Area Agency on Aging. The department has requested an increase in appropriations and revenue of $232,000 due to an increase in baseline funding for the Federal Older Americans Act program and one-time funding increases in the California Department of Aging. Senior Meals Program will receive $108,000 of this funding that will go to provide an additional 4,320 home-delivered meals to existing senior customers. The Ombudsman Program will receive $23,000 in one-time funding to increase hours of the part-time program coordinator at Catholic Charities. We also have expanded outreach, increased respite care, and training as part of their programs as well. In mental health, an increase is recommended for increased utilization in board care services and for one-time setup costs for a new modular building approved by the Board of Supervisors on August 30th of last year for the Prevention and Early Intervention and Substance Use Disorder Education and Prevention Programs. In addition, an increase is recommended to support increased utilization of Napa State Hospital placements and is partially funded by fund balance. The department is experiencing an increased demand for state hospital beds. Through December of 2016, there were 972 bed days used compared to December of 2015, in which 688 bed days were used. This represents a 41% increase in our utilization. Finally, a transfer of $96,000 from unassigned fund balance to committed fund balance is recommended for mental health. This is in the Mental Health Special Revenue Fund. These funds were returned to the department when the Crisis Stabilization Unit Construction Fund was successfully closed out after the project's completion, and we need to do a technical adjustment to move those funds into the correct place. Community Services Agencies, we want to spend a little time explaining some of the major impacts that are occurring within our Community Services Agency department. The focus of our discussion today is going to be on the IHSS program, and it's important to note that there really are two different issues that are occurring within IHSS. One are a series of recommendations that are related to the existing year's budget that we'll provide to you, but we also want to talk about a strategy that has been put in place in the governor's proposed budget that would have significant implications on the county during next fiscal year, but are not factored into any of the financial recommendations before you in today's mid-year budget. In the current year, an increase in estimated revenue and appropriations of just under $2 million is recommended to support current year operations for in-home supportive services. This adjustment is necessary due to the impacts of hours and wages for IHSS providers and projected caseload growth as a result of the implementation of Fair Labor Standards Act requirements. This program is supported by 53% federal and 47% state revenue because we have an MOE currently in place. So in the current model for IHSS, there are no county fiscal impacts associated with this request. We're going to talk about what the future could look like as well. I apologize that this chart is very small on the screen. We have copies of this chart also available in the mid-year report. You don't need to read all of the numbers on the pages. What we do is we wanted to at least graphically show you what has been occurring with the authorized hours and authorized caseloads within the IHSS program and where those are projected to go over the course of the next year, using our own projections or even the state's projections. And you can see that there has been substantial growth in the IHSS program since 2007. The mid-year recommended budgets are independent of that significant fiscal restructuring that we had referred to, and that these changes that we're looking to recommend of just under $2 million are important because they're going to service the we have just over 6,000 individuals currently in the IHSS program currently, and the recommendations are intended to support those individuals in ensuring that they have the caseloads reviewed and assessed as required by the state. We want to switch to the next chart, and we want to switch our attention to talking about what may potentially lie ahead. And once again, I apologize for the small print. We have a copy of the chart available in the mid-year report itself. But the bars on the left that you're looking at are intended to reflect what we have experienced in the IHSS program, and the larger bar is the total program cost. The lower bar represents the county share of that cost. We've been operating in an MOE environment, a maintenance of effort environment, where our costs are essentially capped not exposed to the growth of the program, with the exception of a slight increase each year related to a 3.5% adjustment that's built into the legislation, as well as any labor agreements that we may reach with the United Domestic Workers and the wages for the IHSS program. The bars that are on the right side of the page that are significantly increasing theirs, that reflects what the costs of this program would look like if the governor's current proposed budget were to go into place as presented in his January budget. So there are significant legislative changes that would need to occur in order for this to not happen. But existing law and the way that the governor has positioned the budget will essentially deliver the outcomes that you're looking at on this screen here. And those outcomes are significant. You can see that over the course of the last four or five fiscal years, this program has been about a $10 million program at the local level, increasing to $11 million this year. Next year, with the governor's proposed budget, this is going to go to $17 million. That's a $6 million increase to our county. And then in future fiscal years, you can see how those costs significantly go up. But even the share of the county's costs go up. And that's predominantly in the out years, a result of the fact that minimum wage is going to exceed the amount that the state has identified that they will participate in this program. State law dictates that the state will participate in the program up to $12.10 per hour in total funding. However, the state has taken action to increase minimum wage up to $15 per hour. So in those out years, that has a disproportionate cost shift to the county, where the state is not participating in those additional wage increases in the program. The essential tenet of the governor's proposal is that the maintenance of effort will be eliminated in the current year. That is established in the law. It's an option that's in the law should the Department of Finance find that the program that was intended to save money for the state did not save money for the state. The Department of Finance has made that determination and has formally notified all counties of that, which essentially ends the MOE program starting next fiscal year. So you can see when you just look at the large numbers there that we're looking at a county share that has gone from $10 or $11 million to $17 million in this next year, and then in the out years, 5 to 6 years from now, may reach $35 to $40 million if the governor's proposal as it is designed goes in place and remains in place without change. We do expect there to be some significant a negotiation that goes on as a result of this, and we know that our county leadership, as well as counties throughout the state, are actively involved and working on this issue with the state and with the governor's administration. However, we see no quick fix to this solution, and as we develop our proposed budgets, I mentioned earlier we're right in the middle of budget season right now. The departments are all currently working on their proposed budgets, and we'll have those submissions to us within the next 3 weeks. If this issue is not resolved within the next 30 days or 45 days, we will be forced to prepare a budget assuming that these changes will go into a place, and that would have significant impact on what our strategies are for the budget. We want to talk for a moment about some of the positions that are recommended. This is in many ways completely separate than what we were just talking about the future of the IHSS program. But we have 23 positions recommended with the Community Services Agency. 17 of those positions are recommended to support the Continuum of Care Reform Mandates, or CCR as we call it. I always think of the band when I think CCR, but we're going to say CCR eliminates the use of long-term group home care, thereby increasing youth placement in family settings with a goal of further improving the permanency outcomes for youth in the program. All foster youth are to be transferred from group home settings effective January 1st, 2017. This is very comprehensive reform. It includes an array of mandates, expands the use of child and family teams and meetings, creating faster paths to permanency and shortening the youth involvement in the child welfare and juvenile justice systems, and oversight, accountability, and performance measures. These are clear efforts to improve the outcomes in the foster care program, but they require a lot of staff time, and they are staff intensive, which is what we're experiencing here. We also have four new positions recommended to support the IHSS program, the existing IHSS program, absent any further changes, and the program mandates that are in the current program. This includes the increase in workload attributed to implementation of the Fair Labor Standards Act, which indicates how many hours providers can be paid for. Further, these positions are needed to ensure the agency comes into compliance with the existing mandated 80% annual reassessment rate. So CSA has historically operated with a 90% or better reassessment rate. Starting in July of 2015, the reassessment rate dropped from 94.2% to 68.7% in November of 2016. If this rate is not improved, the California Department of Social Services could impose corrective actions. Of note, there are over 1,100 new applicants who need services, yet the agency is currently 6 months behind in seeing applicants for this program. Simply stated, our current staffing model cannot keep up with the growth of this program. One new position is also recommended to increase security for the agency's networks and provide ongoing maintenance to reduce system failures. And last, one position is recommended to ensure compliance with the new Office of Management and Budget, or the OMB, super circular requirements enacted in December of 2014. The current contracts division staffing level would be augmented to perform subrecipient analysis, fiscal monitoring duties, and audit compliance functions that are coming at the federal level. The additional positions are funded with federal, state, and 2011 realignment, and no budget changes are needed for these additional recommended staffing positions. So the remainder of the departments in the Healthy Community priority area have minimal technical adjustments that are recommended here at mid-year to ensure a positive position by the end of the year. We would like to note that although HSA has no adjustments at mid-year, the department is actively engaged in developing a comprehensive strategic business and facility plan. To first focus on the business strategy for the agency, and then to provide a guide for specific facility projects that would meet their business objectives. Those specific projects would be recommended for consideration by the board in future budget cycles. And I am now going to turn over the presentation back to Brenda, who will cover our departments and efficient delivery of public services.
The departments within the Board of Supervisors' priority of efficient delivery of public services provide a multitude of services to a diverse customer base, both internal and external to the organization. Departments focus on continuous improvement of government business operations, prompted by and supported through customer feedback. Electronic services and more efficient processes allow for the sustained provision of valuable services to the community and help foster positive customer relationships. Adjustments recommended at mid-year include a total increase in appropriations of $4.5 million, funded by an increase in estimated revenue of approximately $3.1 million, a decrease in net county cost of slightly over $45,000, and an increased use of departmental fund balance of $1.4 million. It is recommended to add one confidential assistant 3 position to support administrative functions for the Auditor Controller's Office. The primary focus will be on payroll processing, travel training arrangements, and backup support to the accounts payable and payroll divisions. To support this position, an increase in appropriations of $10,000 is recommended for the remainder of the fiscal year, funded by $6,700 in revenue through the cost allocation plan and $3,300 in net county cost. In addition, an increase in appropriations of $7,200 to purchase 6 sit-stand stations for staff is recommended through a transfer from appropriations for contingencies. This is a one-time cost and serves to provide staff with ergonomic stations to reduce work-related strain and fatigue. It is recommended to increase appropriations and estimated revenue by $2.9 million to reflect the increased vehicle license fee revenue received. This budget is a pass-through, sending VLF revenue to the 1991 health realignment programs. With the passage of health care reform and expanded Medi-Cal coverage, adjustments have been made to the programs and their funding at the state level. Two of the programs that have been added in the last few years, child poverty and family support, do not receive a base allocation from the state, making it challenging to project the funds that will ultimately be received for these programs. Finally, growth on prior year's receipts has been distributed to the counties in the month of December 2016, which was not budgeted. In medical self-insurance, an increase in appropriations of $1.6 million and $200,000 in estimated revenue is recommended to fund higher than anticipated claim volume, which will result in a decrease in retained earnings contributed to the program at year end. The 2016-2017 final budget anticipated a $3 million contribution to retained earnings to fund a claims reserve margin. The retained earnings balance was $2.8 million as of the end of December and will be approximately $3.8 million by fiscal year end. In other employee benefits, a decrease in estimated revenue and appropriations of $200,000 is recommended to reflect a technical adjustment for a refund of administrative fees to deferred compensation program participants. For the clerk recorder, increases in estimated revenue and appropriations of $14,159 are recommended to fund a full-time security guard through the end of the fiscal year. Department employees and customers have noted safety and security concerns while doing business at this location. The presence of a security guard to patrol the lobby and building perimeter will support our employee security program for each of our county departments working in this location, including the clerk recorder, public defender, and grand jury. This increase in contract security services will be ongoing with an annual cost estimated at just over almost $44,000 for next budget year. The Elections Division has identified an unmet need for the presidential election of approximately $150,000. This amount was reserved in appropriations for contingencies in the 2016-2017 adopted proposed budget to cover election costs as needed. The division has since received a state reimbursement for the June 2016 presidential primary in the amount of $210,503 that will cover the overage. Additionally, the division has received $125,000 in a reimbursement from StanCog related to Measure L and would like to utilize the increased revenue to address lobby upgrades, automation updates, and replacement of office equipment. However, the clerk recorder division has identified a potential salary exposure of approximately $200,000 that requires thorough analysis in order to ensure that costs have been allocated to the appropriate division. Pending this review and detailed revenue analysis, recommendations for any budget adjustments will be reserved for the third quarter financial report. For county council, it is recommended to restore one deputy county council 5 position and add one new paralegal 3 to provide legal support with the ongoing needs in human resources and employment law. As the countywide staffing levels increase to over 4,300 positions, the emerging law and legislative changes occur that impact county personnel operations, additional support is needed. The combined estimated cost for these positions totals to $54,580 for the remainder of the fiscal year. An estimated $31,656 in charges for services through the cost allocation plan would partially fund the cost of the positions, and the remaining $22,924 will be covered by salary savings in the department budget. Appropriations for contingencies serves as a contingency fund for the county to provide sufficient funding for emergencies and unanticipated expenses. Transfers from this fund require a 4/5 vote of the Board of Supervisors. The 2016-2017 adopted final budget included a total of $12,948,261 in appropriations. Prior to any mid-year recommended adjustments, the balance in appropriations for contingencies totals $10,597,133. At this time, it is recommended that appropriations for contingencies be decreased by a total of $93,465, transferring funds as follows. $10,500 to Auditor Controller for the new Confidential Assistant 3 and sit-stand stations. $11,121 to CEO Office of Emergency Services for increased Stanislaus Regional 911 fire dispatch costs associated with the approved fire agency subsidy, and $71,844 to various departments as a technical adjustment to support increased health insurance costs, which are offset by department retirement savings. If the recommended transfers totaling $93,465 are approved, a remaining balance of $10,503,668 would be available for use through June 30th, 2017. The remainder of the departments in the efficient delivery of public services priority area have minimal technical adjustments recommended at mid-year to ensure a positive position by year end. Now I will turn the presentation over to Tara, who will share the highlights of the remaining board priority areas.
Good morning. Departments within a strong local economy promote, protect, and sustain agriculture economies and support development of a competitive and diverse workforce while providing for broader, more diversified economic opportunities. There is an increase of $169,972 in appropriations to this priority area, funded from an increase of $77,000 in estimated departmental revenue, resulting in an increased use of $92,000 in department fund balance. The Alliance WorkNet includes a minor technical adjustment to reflect actual federal funding allocation, and there are no recommended adjustments for the Economic Development Bank. For the library, it is recommended to increase appropriations by $299,000, which is partially offset with an increase in estimated department revenue. This will fund multiple projects, deferred maintenance, and other charges. Additionally, a study has been completed to restore a Librarian 3 position, and based on the needs and operation of the library, it is recommended to restore this position to act as the Modesto branch supervisor. Departments within a strong agriculture economy heritage support the vital role of agriculture in the community. Agriculture is the county's number one industry, generating $3.9 billion a year. There is a little over a $3,000 decrease in appropriations for this priority area with a corresponding decrease in estimated revenue. This decrease is primarily due to a minor technical adjustment in the UC Cooperative Extension to reflect no harvest revenue from their demonstration orchard this year. For the Agriculture Commissioner, it is recommended to add one agriculture assistant to support the pest detection program and various other seasonal trapping programs. This will allow the department to maximize the revenue from the contracts with the California Department of Food and Agriculture. This position will be funded primarily by contracts and 24% through prior year carryover savings. Additionally, a transfer of appropriations using their net county cost savings to fixed assets is recommended to replace three copy machines. Departments within a well-planned infrastructure system provide services essential to the quality of life for the residents of Stanislaus County and to the maintenance and expansion of a robust economy. There is an increase of $1.75 million in adjustments recommended for this priority area, and a majority of these adjustments are funded by the use of the departmental fund balance or retained earnings. In Parks and Recreation, a minor adjustment is recommended for pool repair and maintenance for the Regional Water Safety Training Center, which is funded by departmental fund balance. Public Works has no adjustments. In Environmental Resources, an increase in appropriations is recommended to fund groundwater sustainability plans and a contract for hydrogeological services. On-site improvements are funded by departmental fund balance and include improvements to an existing storage enclosure and paving an existing county vehicle parking lot and gravel road. Additionally, an increase in code enforcement abatement using departmental fund balance is recommended to ensure appropriations are available in this budget for any unanticipated cleanup costs through the end of the fiscal year. In Fink Road Landfill, an increase of appropriations of $850,000 using retained earnings is recommended to replace the current scraper that has exceeded its lifespan with a new scraper that will increase operational efficiency at the landfill. In addition, $450,000 in appropriations is recommended to restart the contributions to the Fink Road Landfill Closure Fund. Per our 10-year solid waste agreements with the cities, this contribution to the closure fund begins in year two of the agreements. Additionally, under the Pledge of Revenue Agreement with the state, the county must transfer funds annually from the Fink Road Landfill Operating Fund to the Gear Road Landfill Closure Fund to pay for the ongoing post-closure maintenance and corrective action as an ongoing expense. It is recommended to increase appropriations in the amount of $151,753 annually to transfer to the Gear Road Closure Fund. Estimated corrective action costs are periodically updated. For Planning and Community Development Department, it is recommended to restore one unfunded administrative clerk position and reclassify to a confidential assistant four. This position will act as day-to-day human resources support for the department with oversight from the business manager. This position is funded 50% from special revenue funds and 50% from the general fund. In staffing, the mid-year financial report includes funding for 4,399 allocated full-time positions. Since the 16-17 first quarter financial report, approved changes through separate board agenda items resulted in an increase of four positions. With the recommendation of 55 additional positions in the mid-year financial report, the total recommended authorized positions as of March 18th will be 4,399. With that, Jody will finish up our presentation this morning.
Thank you very much, Tara. So in conclusion, the mid-year budget looks very good on for the organization. Our departments are doing an excellent job of maintaining within their budget appropriations. We have multiple adjustments in the budget to ensure that we stay on track and that we align with their operational needs through the rest of this year. However, we also note the significant potential increase that is pending before us at the state level that would start next fiscal year that we've mentioned. We do want to just highlight a few things about our next steps and looking forward what you should expect for the remainder of this fiscal year. The first thing we want to do is highlight and recognize the significant events that have occurred over the last couple of months due to regional flooding in our area. The Board of Supervisors proclaimed a local emergency due to flooding on February 14th of 2017. With that, we had activated up to level two in our emergency operations center. So for those of you who were able to stop by the emergency operations center on any given day, you may have had 40 or 50 people there supporting that effort. And we do want to take just a moment to thank Chief Skiles and Sheriff Christensen and their leadership and their teams, their respective teams, who shepherded the entire organization through that process. They did an outstanding job to ensure that they protected life and property throughout that entire event. But if you're gonna have an event with 40 or 50 people taken offline to work, it is going to cost something to the organization. Much of that cost will be absorbed in the existing budget, but we are also tracking those additional costs to see if any additional resources may be available to us through our emergency resources at the state or federal level. So that issue remains. We also are mindful that the threat of additional flooding continues and that we're continuing to educate and to keep the dialogue open with our partners that manage the water resources in our respective watersheds to ensure that this issue remains on the radar. We've had some really good weather over the last couple of weeks, but we recognize that we're not out of the woods yet when it comes to flooding. Many of those impacts, if any, you would see in our third quarter financial report. I want to mention that you should expect a series of technical adjustments in the third quarter financial report. Our zero-based budget process is really designed to do a lot of changes at third quarter, so you should expect that coming up, and you'll see the third quarter budget report, I believe, in May. And then also the state budget, we will experience a May revise to the budget. We will have to prepare the proposed budget before we see that May revise, but hopefully we have an idea of what may be in there. We have another issue that's not on the chart, but just very new and fresh, and that is the federal plans to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Those issues have significant potential to relate to the county's budget through a variety of the programs that we operate. We note that a package has just been released for review within the last day or so, and we're all kind of taking a look at that, trying to educate ourselves on what that might mean, but our county departments will be busy analyzing those impacts as they prepare their proposed budgets. We want to invite anyone who would like to take a look at the details of our budget to go to stancounty.com/budget. And with that, we have five staffing recommendations before you today. The first is to accept the CEO's mid-year financial report for fiscal year 16-17. The second is to authorize the chief executive officer and the auditor controller to make any necessary adjustments that are included in the budget. The third is to authorize the use of $93,000 in appropriations for contingencies as recommended in the report by a 4/5 vote of the board. We also request that you amend the salary and position allocation resolution to reflect the recommendations that are included in our mid-year budget report and all of the staffing impacts that are included in Attachment B. And we ask that you approve contracts or agreements listed in Attachment C and cumulative amounts of greater than $100,000 since July 1st of 2014 and authorize our General Services Agency Director, Purchasing Agent, or Department Heads to sign. With that, we want to thank you for listening to the presentation this morning. We're here to ask any answer any questions you might have, and all of our departments are also represented with us here this morning if you want to ask any questions specific to departments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and to your new team. Excellent job. Okay, of the five recommendations, one of them was to take money out of contingencies. It does require a 4/5 vote. Before we get to that, are there any Board of Supervisors? Do we have any questions or comments? Seeing none,
I just want to thank the staff that put together this budget. We certainly have, I think, the best staffs of any county in California. I have no problems with the budget. The only concern that I would have in the future is what we're going to do about in-home supportive services, which is a real liability for the county. The state of California creates the problem and then just walks away from it and sticks us with the tab. When I first started here, it was about the total cost of it was around $40 million, and now it's projected in just a few years to be as much as $147 million. The growth in this organization has just exceeded anything anyone ever thought it would be. With the county share, it went from $10 million to potentially $47 million. It's a real concern. Those are really big numbers. But you know, we'll have to deal with that as it goes. But I'm going to thank the staff for a very thorough report. We've all got briefed on this before, so none of this is really all new to us today. A good job you've done.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to quickly go to the audience. Anyone have any comments for the presentation? I'll bring it back because I know there's board comments. Mr. Withrow.
Yes. First, again, thank you guys. As Jim said, great job here. Just a great, very impressive what you guys do here with this budget every year. And so in our mid-year briefings, as we all get, all of us, a lot of times people think, geez, they don't ask any questions. We got this giant budget, and we sit up here and don't ask a whole lot of questions. But I just like to remind everybody that we all go through briefings before this meeting comes to fruition, and we've all had a chance to have our input and gone through this with staff. So, but again, great job what you're doing. Things are looking good still, but you know, when you look at, we have $3.8 million that we're putting back into our general fund here, a good thing, you know. I always think that we've turned a profit, we're putting money into savings, but that could be very short-lived. As Jim mentioned here, what we're looking at with the IHSS is very scary. Not sure what's going to happen there, and so we have to very carefully plan for that and watch that as it happens. What's going to happen with the Affordable Care Act here? Where's that going to go? And you know, we were whether people like the Affordable Care Act or not, it was a blessing of some sort here to the county. As this happened, much savings happened here with our MIA population disappeared, We could quickly take that back on. You know, that could come back to us really very, very quickly, and we'd have to deal with that. So the savings that we incurred actually didn't stay here. They went back to the state. But again, another issue, as Jim says, that the state will put these things on us, and the federal government, depending on what happens with HCA, could be put back in our laps here again. So we have to watch all these things, and that's what's so hard with this. We're excited, we're happy when things are going well, but we're always just waiting for the shoe to drop. You know, we're just waiting for the next thing to come along. And it's been a good ride here, as we talk about. So in this budget briefing, this updated mid-year budget, things look good, but we just have to be so cautious as to what's coming down the road. And so you really just can't celebrate is a problem. We never get a chance to celebrate. Like, things are great. Everything is going good because we're just waiting for the next thing to happen. So, again, thank you guys for everything you've done. Great, great work, great great presentation, and appreciate all your efforts.
Other comments? Okay, so I guess I'm going to comment. First of all, I have to thank the whole budget team, but not only the budget team, the department heads for essentially staying within their budget. For the last 3 or 4 years, I just keep being more and more impressed. We have some carryover money, as Supervisor Withrow talked about. We're saving money. When I start on in-home supportive services, I want to talk about that for a while. I just want everyone to know what a SNAP budget team we have, not only the Community Service Agency, the Behavioral Health, but this is, if you can see this, this is 91 realignment, and this is where all the money goes in 91 realignment. This is, I know you can't read it, but it goes to a lot of sources. So when this the governor's proposal to give back in-home supportive services to the counties, I needed to figure out how this was being funded. It's always a very convoluted system when you talk about realignment, because they use different sources, and then they triple flip it, and they do other things. But our team got me something that was very tangible very quickly, and I'm very impressed with them, and I will always continue to be. So if you could pull up this slide for me, please. I think, and this is essentially the governor's plan, and Jody, you did a great job of explaining it. I would agree that on a go-forward basis, the state has capped the cost at $12.10. That was for them to prevent counties from going out and offering under the MOE more than $12.10, $15 or $18, and the county gets stuck on the hook. I don't believe that they will continue that, although the governor's proposal still has it in there. That's why you see that huge escalation, but that's really irrelevant to me, the outward years, because we couldn't handle that as a county, and we're fiscally sound, so other counties would fail long before. But just looking from the $11.2 million in this current year to the $17.1 million, there is an assembly plan that's been floated out. They will float it out today. Essentially, it will stick us with the $6 million. Stick is not a good word. We will be forced to take on the $6 million in additional, and then they would start a revolving loan program to pick up the difference between what the growth and realignment is and the cost of the program. So it will probably go up. So it really limits our exposure. Still a bad plan, because no matter what, we're taking on the 600, and the state of California counties are taking on 620 to 660 million, depending on what you want. And the question is, if realignment growth, if they loan us money, and I'll ask this question, it's rhetorical because I think I know the answer, but if the realignment growth is always taking care of that loan, essentially, that we're taking, and that loan is supposed to grow to about $2 billion statewide, and then it'll slowly be paid off. What happens to our other programs? Because there are many, many programs under 91 realignment. I think I showed you that, and some of those programs are foster care, child welfare, adoption assistance. I mean, the list goes on and on. What happens to those programs when there's no 91 realignment growth? To CalWORKs, what is our obligation to eligibility requirements, and because that is part of 91 realignment, what happens to those programs when all of the money is going towards one program out of many?
So I'm going to provide you a summary answer to your question, Supervisor Keza, but I'll also invite our Community Services Agency Director to add in anything that they would like to add. The short answer is that the proposal, as we understand it and our reading of it, would come at the expense of all of those other programs that are on that sheet there. And I appreciate you highlighting that. Something that we didn't mention during the presentation is that this program is funded through 91 realignment, which funds a host of programs throughout the county. IHSS is in a first position to draw down those growth and earn those funds. And therefore, when IHSS pulls down those funds to pay back whatever loan mechanism the state may want to put in place, it will come at the expense of mental health or health services agency programs that are also funded through 91 realignment. We would expect all of those programs to experience growth, as they naturally do, over the course of time, and our ability to fund that growth ultimately may fall back to the county general fund as well, in order to support those programs, or a reduction in services to the degree that the mandates would allow.
Okay. This county has always just met the minimum mandated match. It's pretty typical. If you look through 91 realignment, there aren't discretionary type programs that we're funding to any level more than a few hundred thousand dollars. So in reality, it will fall on the general fund in the end if those programs, if there continues to be a match that exceeds the realignment growth. And I think the realignment growth, from what I've seen in the projections, the loan program grows, and then maybe we start paying it back in year 10 or so. But their assumptions are that the sales tax growth will continue, that we're not going to see a recession, that we're not going to have another 2009, 2010, 2011 year. And when I talk about the convoluted process of the state of California, it would be simple. They should just keep the realignment growth money. There shouldn't be a loan. There shouldn't be anything. They should just keep the money if that's what they want to do. In the end, they're just creating another problem where we're going to carry on the books the negative balance of this program, of which we have zero cost driver control of any of this program, short of the one thing that I'll talk about. But I look at the overtime rule, the driving rule, the waiting rule, which all cost, along with minimum wage increase, and you see that chart, if you can pull up this chart. And you see that explosive growth, if you can read, which you can't read, but if you look, there were reductions in certain years, and then when they relieved of the reductions, essentially it's been explosive growth in this program with no cost control by the county. We provide social workers, and the irony is that we're hiring four more today to keep up with caseload growth, and the board priority is to hire, and I'm not saying we shouldn't hire, but our board priority is to hire deputies, and we can't hire deputies. We're hamstrung because we can't find qualified candidates. And it just seems tough dumping another $6 million on Stanislaus County on this program. So it gives me great consternation, and I'm not an alarmist. Generally, I'm not an alarmist, and everyone can try and calm me down here as I go forward. But between the retirement costs, we have six unions up this year. We have six unions up next year. Labor negotiations, we got court security costs. We have a new jail that we're celebrating today, and it comes with an ongoing cost. And we have done so well. I mean, the last report, when we came out with the 16-17 budget, I could not have been more proud. Things have really gone our way recently, and maybe I've been beaten down so far. But with the negative bailout, we're at a good place. Our reserves are in a good place. But reserves are for downturns in the economy, not additional costs that are lumped on us because the state doesn't want it, because it's exceeding their expectation, because next comes ACA. If they dump $6 million ongoing costs, this is not what reserves are for. Reserves are for when the economy slows down and we need to take some of our reserves. That's what we used them for before. And now we're going to add $6 million ongoing. It's never going to change, even in the best plan, the assembly plan. So as a board collectively, as a state organization, as the welfare directors, we need to continue to oppose until something reasonable comes of this. And my last comment, it's probably not my last comment, but the $624 million, not all of that, had we kept the program without the MOE, it would only be 400 and some million dollars. So they're adding some of their own cost drivers, the state is adding, which is just completely unacceptable as a starting point for negotiations. And so that's got me motored up. The last thing, there is one last thing. I look back and no one likes to talk about fraud detection. And I, again, pulled up what we did back in. And so if you look on this chart, you see the high point, if you can point at the arrow, the high point is about May of 2009. You have a little cursor on there, backwards, to the first mountain on the top, right there. So about 2 months after that is when we instituted our fraud. Fraud detection unit. It's testing the integrity of the system here. And Governor Schwarzenegger had put about $24 million into his budget. We got about 400,000 of that, which we had a county match, 17% of that. And we ran it for about, I think it was about 2 years, and then we ran it a third year on our own dime. And I think you guys were talking about the cases. In 2009-10 year, there were random cases and referred cases, flagged cases. And so a social worker would flag a case, 150 were referred, 119 were found to have fraud, was 79%. The random cases, there were 37 random cases, 62% had fraud. In 2010-11, the following year, there were 296 referred cases, 70% fraud. Random cases, 148, 55 were found to have fraud. And 2011-12, when we did it on our own, we spent the money. We had 76 referred cases, 82% of them were fraudulent, 38 random cases, 42% fraudulent. So on our own dime, we were saving money for the county, we're saving money for the state and the federal government. The problem is the dollar was ours, the county's dollar, and only 70% of that savings came to us, came back to us. It would, it's a needed program. There's no doubt in my mind. It keeps people out of facilities, and that was its intent, but it is very difficult, and they are doing integrity, and I don't want CSA to think that they're not doing their job because they are doing integrity. This was a little different project, but something that we have absolutely no cost control over, except for this one avenue, is no good. I mean, we demand of ourselves, we demand of our employees, they do the best they can, and here this program is growing, and it's only the top line that bothers me, because those are ours, and we are on the hook for $6 million of it, probably minimum, going forward. So I take great caution today when we build next year's budget that we have to assume that, and we're going to have to start assuming some downside on the ACA along with those other things I talked about. And I don't know if we end up freezing positions. I don't know what we do if we decide we're going to go all in with reserves for 1 year. But I don't see rosy times ahead, and we haven't even talked about the economy slowing down, which it can't continue the same pace we've seen. So I hate to be a pessimist today. I'm not a pessimist by nature. I just see this accumulation effect on us, and what should be something to celebrate today, this is we're still really doing well financially. I see it as it's a big drag on my psyche anyways, to say the least. So with that, I'm now going to zip it and turn it over to Assemblywoman.
Thank you, Mr.
Supervisor Olson, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to echo the comments, obviously all of us share the grave concerns about the state mandate related to IHSS and the rollover to the counties. And to that end, I know several of us, if not all of us, have weighed in as individuals to the state, both members of the Assembly Budget Committee, Senate Budget Committee, and our own legislative delegation. But I think this particular issue is of such utmost importance that we should weigh in formally. So I'd love to request, if it's appropriate, that staff prepare a letter for the board's review that we could sign onto as a full board in a formal capacity to make sure that our legislative delegation and others are well aware of our strong opposition to this plan.
Staff would be happy to do that, and we'll bring it back to you, if not next week, at a following board meeting this month.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. If no further comments, I guess it's time for action. I appreciate everything you guys do.
Okay, I'll make a motion to accept all staff recommendations.
We have a motion on the floor.
Second.
We have a second. 4/5 vote required. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 5-0.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you very, very much. Excellent work again. Okay, correspondence.
This board has received a letter requesting the change of their school district election from odd to even years for the Turlock Unified School District.
Refer to the clerk recorder and registrar of voters.
This board has received a notice of public hearings from the California Fish and Game Commission regarding regulatory action related to the use of dogs for the pursuit take of mammals.
Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a notice from the California Fish and Game Commission regarding proposed emergency action regarding the tricolored blackbird.
Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? I just wanted to point out that my good friend John Pedroza, former supervisor for Merced, is in the audience, and he loves to listen to budgets. Welcome, John. Thank you. Anyone else? If not, Legislative Fiscal and Management Report, CEO Risen.
Yeah, no report this morning, but I would like to make an announcement. As Jody mentioned during his budget presentation, we're going to be celebrating the dedication of the Sheriff's Detention Center today, March 7th at 2 p.m. at 250 East Hackett Road.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, so there's nothing else for the good of the order. We're going to adjourn the Board of Supervisor meeting. We do have a quick closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have closed session this morning to have conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1. This involves one case, Dennis Wallace versus County of Stanislaus et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 663764. We do reasonably expect a report out on this matter, and it'd be appropriate to ask if there are any public comments before adjourning to closed session.
Are there any public comments? Seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session.